So good to see you this morning. Oh man, I knew that it's a wonderful feeling to come in knowing that by the time I stand up here, like the highlight's already done, right? I mean, we can just put a nice bow on this in good shape. I'm so thankful for Ali Goszewski and all of our FBC kids workers. They have worked really hard leading up to today. What a special morning it is for us to be able to worship alongside of our kids and to have them lead us in that. And so thank you for coming. A lot of family and friends here today. I love having you here to support and enjoy our FBC kids. How many of you are ready for Christmas? You're ready to go? Shopping's pretty much done. No. How many of you are not ready for Christmas yet? Okay, good. Nice honesty. How many of you, if you're being honest, are kind of ready for Christmas to be over? Like you just wish you could skip the next 2 weeks. It's too much stress. You agree with Amari the Mouse that, you know, it's just too much going on, too much stress. Gimme. How many of you have a tree up? How many of you have a tree up in your house? We just got ours up yesterday. That is the latest the Pine family has ever put a tree up because we're at the stage in our life where we have to limit how long we worry about the kids destroying the tree. And so we waited until yesterday. Whatever stage that is, that's the stage that we're in where having a tree up is more stress than enjoyment. That's where we're at with our kids at our house. But regardless of whether we're ready for Christmas to come or we're ready for it to be over, the next couple weeks are going to be obviously Christmas focused, and it's going to be the same way here. We're going to spend the next three gatherings together this morning, next Sunday, and then Christmas Eve, thinking about Christmas, the coming of Jesus into the world, based on John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You can go ahead and turn there, if you would, in your Bible. John chapter 1. If you want to grab a pew Bible right in front of you, you can just turn to page 886, and that's where you will find this passage this morning. Encourage all of you, whether it's on your phone or whether it's in the Bible in front of you or the Bible that you brought, encourage all of you to get to John chapter 1 because it's the Word of God that matters so much more than what I say. If what I say doesn't agree with that, then what I say is pointless. And so I want all of you to follow along with us in John chapter 1 this morning. Two of the four Gospels give us more details about the Christmas story. Matthew and Luke are the ones that give us the most information about the coming of Jesus into the world. But I believe that John 1 through 18 helps us think about Jesus correctly, which means that it helps us think about Christmas correctly. And so today, the first few verses of John 1 are going to remind us that God speaks. That God speaks. Christmas is a demonstration of the truth that we have a God who speaks. There's all sorts of sounds that we associate with this time of year. There's the sound of Christmas music playing in almost every store and restaurant, maybe in your house as well. There's the sound of a bell ringing to ask you to donate to the Salvation Army as you walk into stores. There's the sound of your favorite Christmas movie on your TV. And all of that can be good as long as it doesn't drown out the real message of Christmas or the real messenger of Christmas. Because Christmas is about the arrival of the Word of God. And so as we come to John chapter 1, I want you to imagine John the Apostle sitting down to write his account of Jesus' life. He's been with Jesus, right? He's one of his disciples. He was with Jesus. He walked with him for 3 years. He saw him do so much. Think about everything that you want to tell people about Jesus, about your Savior, about your God. Think about all the stories you want to tell, all of Jesus' characteristics that you want to describe to your audience. And you, as the writer, have to decide what is the first thing. What's the first thing I want people to know about Jesus? What's the first truth I need to convey about my Savior. We know from chapter 20 of John's Gospel that his purpose for writing was so that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we would have life in his name. And so John sits down to write this Gospel, and John starts with, "In the beginning was the Word." And I find it fascinating that of all the things that John wants to communicate to his audience about Jesus, all the things that he wants to tell them about his Savior, the first thing John wants us to know about Jesus is we have a God who communicates. We have a God who communicates. So in John 1:1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now I'm going to show you how we know that this is Jesus in just a few verses. But the very first way John describes Jesus is as the God who communicates. He describes him as the Word. Right from the beginning, John wants us to know that we have a God who speaks to us. It's always interesting in like an infuriating sort of way to see a talk show host, let's say Oprah, ask people to describe God or to define God. Have you ever seen a talk show host, like a spiritual conversation with someone, and they ask them to define God or to describe God? And I find it interesting in an infuriating way because people's answers are almost always abstract and almost mystical. They will say that God is a divine energy, right? Or that he's the rhythm of the universe, or he's a spiritual force, or they'll just say he's love, right? He's everything that love is. And part of what frustrates me listening to people describe God is I just want one person to be asked to describe or to define God. I just want one person to start their answer by saying, "Well, I think God did a pretty good job describing himself, right? I think he did a pretty good job. He hasn't left to us to wonder who he is. He hasn't left us to hypothesize about what he is like. He has told us because we have a God who speaks. He has revealed himself to us. He wrote a book. And it's really long, actually. Right? He wrote a book, and it's a long one, and it's about himself. He wrote it to tell us who he is and what he is like and how we can know him, because we have a God who communicates with us. Which is remarkable when you think about it, that God, the God of the universe, the creator of all, actually wants me to know what he's like, actually wants me to know. He actually wants to speak to me. He wants to speak to you. If you are here this morning and you know nothing about God, if you aren't even sure that you can know him, if you think that God is mysterious or unapproachable, if he exists at all, I want you to hear this morning that God wants you to know who he is, and he has communicated with us to make that possible. So John starts with the words, "In the beginning." And if you're a Jewish reader in the first century, you know how that sentence is supposed to end, because it's the very beginning of the book, right? Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." But John 1:1 doesn't say that. But to be more accurate, John 1:1 doesn't say that as simply as Genesis 1:1. Because John is going to tell his audience that in the beginning God created. But he wants us to know more about how that happened. And so he says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He, the Word, was in the beginning with God." And then John moves on to creation in verse 3, like he hasn't just dropped a doctrinal bomb on us and moved on, right? He just moves right on in verse 3 to creation, but he has just simply stated a doctrine that's incredibly complicated, right? Because think about this with me. How is it possible for the Word in John 1:1 to be both with God and to be God Himself. This is very complicated, right? He says the Word was with God, and the Word also was God. And so John just starts launching truth at us at the beginning of this book, that Jesus eternally existed with the Father and eternally is God Himself. The only explanation for this verse is that we have a Trinitarian God. A one God, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And if you are like me, you learn that when you were young and your mind is still boggled by it, right? It's just so hard for us to comprehend our three in one God, but that is what John is speaking to here, that we have Jesus who eternally existed with the Father and eternally is God Himself. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And I would love to talk to you more about that some other time, but we have to move on because John does as well. And we know that John intentionally describes Jesus as the Word. So we should be asking, why? Why is that the first truth that John chooses to convey to us about Jesus? Why is he called the Word? What does the Word say? How does the Word speak? And I see two ways that God, the Word, speaks to us from this passage. The first way is in verse 3. Look at that. He says, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And so the first way that God speaks is through the creation of the world. God speaks through the creation of the world. Long before angels announced His arrival in Bethlehem, Jesus' first documented act as the Word was speaking the universe into existence. Because He wanted to start small, right? Didn't want to show off too much, so He just created everything at once, right? He created everything using His voice. Nothing exists outside the Word of God. In 6 days, He created a universe so vast that all these years later, the greatest telescopes and technology can't find the edges of all that He created. And all that Jesus did was speak. And I was thinking about the power of the Word of Jesus last night, how He was just able to talk and all of this came to be. And last night I was wishing I could harness all of that power of the Word for just a few seconds so I could make my children go to sleep. Honest, yeah. Selfish, yes, but honest. Like that's all I wanted that power for last night. Parents, could you just imagine being able to say the words to your young kids, go to sleep, and it happens? Oh, how much better would your life have been if you had parents of 4, 5, 6-year-olds, go to sleep, done, right? Just out. Oh, that would just be amazing. Just wanted for one time, Jesus, I just want one time to be able to speak and it happens, right? That'd be amazing. But the reality is my words have very little power, right? Very little power. I mean, I can dole out consequences. I can do some other things, but my words have very little power. Meanwhile, God the Son said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, water, you stop there, and land, you go here, and you guys meet at this place, but you guys stay separate over here. He said, birds, fly in the sky. Not you penguins, you get to swim, right? And just separated all those things. And the penguins didn't complain, right? They were like, that's not fair. I want to use my wings for flying. They didn't do that. They just listened to what He said. Yes, I'm still frustrated about last night, but that would be amazing, right? They just listened to what He said. No back talk at all. Penguins swimming, birds flying. They all did what He said. We have a God who is so powerful that light and darkness obey His voice. We have a God that is so powerful that water and land respond to His word. And God speaking the world into existence didn't just create. This is what we need to see. It didn't just create. It also revealed. Because creation was intended to communicate, to reveal the character of the Creator. Creation is God's general revelation to us about Himself. It is God's way of telling us who He is. This is what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1, that God's invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, are clearly seen ever since the creation of the world. So I want you to have this in your mind about what happened at creation. God spoke to create, and He spoke to tell creation about Himself. At creation, God spoke to create and to tell creation about Himself, because God is not hiding. He wants to be known. He created us in His image so that as we learn about ourselves, we are learning about Him. Our intellect reveals our intelligent designer. Our emotions reveal that we have a God who feels. Our ability to organize reveals a God of order. Our ability to communicate reveals that we have a God who speaks. He wants to be seen and He wants to be heard. We see that in the creation of the world. But we also see that something quickly got lost in translation. What should have been really simple when you think about it, God creates with His Word. We as creation worship our Creator with our words. It should have been that simple. Follow the laws of the lawgiver. Enjoy the designs of the designer. But it got complicated in a hurry, didn't it? The general revelation of who God is as Creator was not enough for us as creation to choose to worship Him. The Word was drowned out by the sound of sin. And God could have left it like that. He's not limited to us. Just as easily as He spoke us into existence, He could have spoken us out of existence and started over and been just fine. God does not need me. He does not need us. He's not dependent on us. He could have left us in that sorry state or just removed us altogether. His words are that powerful. But instead, the Word decided to speak again. And it was not a message of condemnation. It was not a message of judgment. It was in the most unexpected way possible. And John tells us about it in verse 14 of John chapter 1. Just look down there. This is how we know who the Word is that John is talking about. Because John says in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth." So we see in John chapter 1 that God speaks through the creation of the world and God speaks through His incarnation to the world. God speaks through His incarnation to the world. Think about Christmas this way. Jesus came into the world as the embodiment of God's communication with us. I think that's just so cool that Jesus came into the world as the embodiment of God's communication with us. The Word became flesh. Jesus is the ultimate revelation to us of God. Because He is God Himself. Everything Jesus said was God's Word to us, and everything He did was God's Word to us as well, because Jesus is the Word. At the incarnation, God's Word went from simply auditory to visual. We could see it. We could feel it. The Word has become flesh. And I just love the thought that God the Son, who was the Word from the beginning, had to learn to talk. How amazing is that? I amazing is that? My 4-month-old has just started making sounds, and it's amazing how low your expectations are for a baby, right? Just, right? And you're like, oh, this is amazing, right? This is awesome, right? If my 6-year-old did that, I'd be like, please stop, you're annoying. 4 months, it's great, so cute, right? But this is the humility of Jesus, the creator of all. The creator of all of life, and this is why I love where John starts in John chapter 1. The creator of everything from the beginning became the tiniest human. He gave up the ability to speak, he had to learn how to speak. We get to have fun wondering what his first words were, right? All those different things, how Mary and Joseph celebrated the first time that he talked and walked. He gave up all of these things and came to be a baby. The king of all gave up his throne because God had a message to deliver. So the word came to communicate with us. And here's the message of the word, according to the rest of the book of John. The message of the word, according to God, to John, is, I am. This is Jesus' message to the world. I am. I am where joy and peace and comfort is found. So John documents all these I am statements of Jesus. I am the bread of life. You don't have to be spiritually hungry because I can give you eternal satisfaction. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You don't have to walk in darkness. You can have the light of life. I am the door. If you walk through me, you will be saved. I am the good shepherd. I'm going to lay down my life for my sheep, but I'm not going to stay dead because I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they were dead, yet shall they live because I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the vine. I am the source of all life. Jesus' message as the word to us is, I am. I am. Christmas is about a Savior who always was, always will be, who came to be present with us. Christmas is about a Savior who always was and who always will be, but came to be present with us. Christmas is about Jesus who came near to us when we were so far from God. It is about a messenger who came close enough for us to hear the message. Jesus lived the perfect life that you and I should have lived. He died the death that we deserved to die. He took the just punishment for all of our sin on himself at the cross. He rose from the dead, conquering sin and death because he's the resurrection and the life. So if you place your faith in the perfect life, sacrificial death, and victorious resurrection of Jesus, all of your sins are forgiven and you can be part of the eternal family of God. Because as our kids sang so well, Christmas is not about the presents underneath the tree. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so we can be born again. It's about God's love nailed to a tree. It's about every drop of blood that flowed from him when it should have been me. It's about the stone that was rolled away so you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's the greatest story ever told. And the other truth I love from John 1:1 is that there's no beginning to the story. That the story of Christmas is a story without a beginning. I just want to draw your attention to how John begins his gospel, because he says, in the beginning was the Word. And I hope that John 1 is a reminder to us that the story of Jesus doesn't begin in a stable in Bethlehem, because the story of Jesus doesn't begin. It just is. He's the I am. He always has been. So when John begins his story, he says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, Jesus already was. He doesn't have a beginning. He gave everything else its beginning, right? So Jesus is not something that was created, that came to be when Mary conceived. No, he was the one that had given everything else that we see around us its beginning. I always love it when people say, do you really believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? Or do you really believe that angels announced his birth? Or do you really believe that God came to this world as a baby? And I always would respond to that by saying, that's not even close to the most unbelievable thing I believe about Jesus. Like, that's easy by the time we get to that. I believe that Jesus is eternal. That he always has been, and he always will be. 10 trillion years ago, Jesus was already forever years old, right? Like, just, we can't even get our minds around that. Even that is an insufficient way of describing it, because God is not subject to time. Time is subject to him, right? So even when we put in the category of years, we don't even grasp the significance of what we're talking about. It's just amazing, because it's so hard for our time-bound minds to comprehend what is timeless. So hard for our time-bound minds to comprehend what is timeless. And my evidence for that, my evidence that we are bad at comprehending the timeless, is that most of the things we call timeless aren't. Have you ever thought about that? Here's a timeless song from the 1800s. Pretty sure it was written at a point in time, right? Here, you know, timeless jewelry, a timeless outfit, whatever we call timeless really means that it's gone from generation to generation, but it was created, right? A timeless work of art, you know, made by this person that was born and died at a certain period of time. Like, the things that we call timeless aren't, because we are time bound. We can't even begin to comprehend what is timeless. And so if you want to be filled with wonder this Christmas, take some time to consider the truth that the one who created time entered into time at the perfect time, so we who would otherwise run out of time can be right with God for all of time. How great is that? How great is that? If you ever question whether God wants you to know him, or whether God wants you to hear from him, all you have to do is remember the Christmas story. And I know that there are a lot of other sounds that are competing for our ears this time of year. Maybe even while I've been speaking, you've been hearing the list of things that you have to do today, and your mind has been telling you all the things that you have to accomplish this week, and oh my goodness, it's 9 days away, and I have so much to do, and you're going to leave here, and you're going to hear Christmas carols everywhere you go, and you're going to hear bells, and you're going to hear all this different stuff. But this morning, I want to ask you, in the midst of all of that, can you hear the God who speaks this Christmas? Can you hear him? Can you hear the message that God wants to communicate to you in Jesus' coming to earth as a baby to be the Savior of the world? Can you hear the God who speaks this Christmas? Because the God who spoke the world into existence, the God who spoke by coming to this sin-filled world, is still speaking. And his message is, I still am. I still am. Jesus is still the way. He is still the truth, and he is still the life. He is still where satisfaction is found. He is still where peace is found. He is still where joy is found. He is still where life is found. Can you hear him? Can you hear him this Christmas? We have a God who speaks. Let me pray for us. God, this morning we are thankful for the sound of children singing. It's about the cross. We are thankful for the sound of children telling us the Christmas story and what Christmas is really all about. We are thankful for the sound of the instruments, and thankful for the sound of our voices gathered together to adore You, to praise You, to worship You. And God, this morning, we are thankful for the sound of the Word, that You have definitively spoken to us, that what was lost in translation because of our sin can be seen clearly in the person of Jesus. And so, God, I pray that we would listen to Your voice today. I pray that as we approach December 25th, that we would be attentive to Your voice that says that You still are the I Am, that You are the way, that You are the truth, that You are where life is found. And so I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that's been looking for life in other places, they've been trying to find joy and peace and satisfaction in all the stuff that the world promises, I pray that today they would turn and they would find life in Jesus. I pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know You as their personal Savior, that they wouldn't leave this room without talking to one of the leaders, without talking to the friend that brought them, about how they can know Jesus is the Savior of their lives. So thank You for coming to be present with us. And thank You that You still speak. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.